Oh, that's pretty good. That was excellent. All right, well, welcome back, Joe.
Yeah.
Bash Brother Valdez back in the studio.
Looking forward to a great podcast.
Yeah, man. Green Collar Podcast is back. 2 weeks, much better than last time.
Week and a half.
It was a week and a half, Ira. Was it a week and a half?
It was a week and a half. This is Wednesday. Today is Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday. I'm pretty sure
we usually do it on Sundays.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Was it 2 weeks?
No,
two and a half weeks?
It was 2 weeks. We're over 2 weeks, man.
No.
Yes. It would have been 2 weeks on Sunday. Regardless, we are happy to be here bringing you, our faithful listeners, another brand new episode of Green Collar Podcast for fans by fans. That's right.
By fans.
Okay, so let's jump right into this today. We're going to do a little recap of the last couple weeks. Starting off with, okay, so where we were at after our last podcast, we were going into a three-game series against the Rangers, which, amazingly enough, we swept the Rangers, which was awesome. But then I think, in fact, we mentioned it specifically on our last podcast in that this team does something that's so great, and then we turn right around, and what happened to the next series?
We got swept.
By the Royals. Wah, wah. Yeah, so then, bam, all that ground that we've made up it means nothing. So that's frustrating.
Well, I mean, you look at the Rangers, they're not a very good team. Right? They're a struggling team.
But remember, the Rangers at that point had been super hot. Us going into Texas, they were super hot. They were one of the hottest teams. Yes, they were. They were like,
I thought they were on a tailspin then.
I think they were 2.5 games behind the Astros for first place. They were above the Angels. They were above everybody else. So yeah, I'm looking at the standings website here. And looking at June 21st, when we did our last podcast, they were 3.5 back of Houston. They had won 6 of 4. So I guess you're right. They were starting to decline.
They lost two in a row before.
They had lost two in a row
before they got to us.
But I believe whoever they played that series, who was that? I guess they were losing against the White Sox, which is not good. But they had been very hot. So it's not like, I mean, it's not like they were a pushover team per se at that point. But I agree, they're nothing like the Kansas City Royals, you know, in terms of caliber, who we then got swept by.
We were a hot team, and there's no better team to go against to see where we truly are than the Royals. So, I mean, it just goes to show me that it doesn't seem like we're a playoff caliber team.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, we won 5 in a row up before playing them, but then it's like, well, that's really when you play a team that's that good, that really gives you a barometer.
In the last 2 weeks, that's been the Royals have been the only real team with, I think, playoff caliber team that we played. You look at the Mariners, they're not very good. You look at the Rockies, they're terrible.
Yeah.
So it's hard to gauge where we are exactly, you know. Even the Mariners, how did we not win that series?
Yeah.
It's just so frustrating.
Well, we know how we didn't win that series, but we'll talk about that shortly. Yeah, basically, I mean, I was looking at what we have done since we podcasted. We lost 3 in a row to the Rangers, or won 3 in a row against the Rangers, but then we lost 3 in a row against the Royals. Then we take 2 out of 3 against the Rockies and split the series with the Mariners. I guess the good news of all of that is we just won the first game of the series against the Yankees. The Yankees are not... I would argue that the Yankees this year are probably a better team than the Rangers are, for example. So this will be an interesting series to watch. As we're recording this, actually, this podcast will be after the Wednesday game today, July 8th, but we're recording it before. So we unfortunately don't know what happens today as Kazmir. I think it's Kazmir squares off against CC Sabathia.
I can tell you what happened. A's won 3-1.
3-1? Okay. All right. Well, we'll put that on Crow Talk next week if we have to. What I was going to say was, you're right. We were looking down a stretch of playing several mediocre teams at best. All teams that had better records than we had. but whether they were clearly supposed to actually be better than us, not necessarily, for reasons we've talked ad nauseum. So, meaning it should have been a stretch where we gained a bunch of ground.
It was
and
a
really,
great opportunity to catch fire.
Yeah.
And to win
and
some games.
It was that getting swept by Kansas City. To me, if we had won one game from that series, we'd be in a completely different situation right now. So even though I'm looking, and if I'm doing the math correctly, I think we're 2 games over .500 in these 2.5 weeks.
Yes, I think I believe what 16
with
14,
with the win yesterday. Yeah, with the win yesterday, I believe we're 2 games over .500.
Which is not good enough.
That one last loss to get swept by Kansas City would have put us 4 games over .500. That's very frustrating. That's a huge swing. Those 2-game swings like that when you lose instead of win, they're a huge difference. And again, I hate to keep saying it, but I think that's the reason why this team is not going to make it. I don't know. What do you think about
it? It's
our
really
stretch?
Frustrating. You look at our starting pitching. We are in the top of the American League in ERA, number one in innings pitched.
Starters?
We're talking about starting pitching.
Yeah.
So number one in ERA at 3.01. Number one in innings pitched, 5.29.1. We have the least amount of hits given up.
Mm-hmm.
Are these in the
AL or is this in all of baseball?
I believe this is the AL.
AL. Yeah.
And we have the least amount of home runs given up.
Yeah.
Second least earned runs given up.
You can't see it because this is a podcast, but I'm over here shaking my head at every single one of these stats.
So our
you're reading off.
Our starting pitching is phenomenal.
They are fantastic.
But then you go over
better than
and you
last
look,
year.
You look at the bullpen stats, second to last in ERA. Mm. 30 save appearances. Guess how many saves we have? 18.
Wow.
12 blown saves. I think that's a conversion. I'm just doing this in my 60% or something like that, right?
Yeah.
that's terrible.
Insane.
That's terrible. You look at I'm sure
earned runs or unearned runs are way up there too. In terms of the defensive runs that have been given up as well.
Oh, absolutely. I watched, what was it, the Friday game? I think that was Sonny.
You were talking about against Seattle.
I don't remember who was pitching that game, but whoever was pitching had a great game. And Scribner came in the eighth inning and gave up, I think, 27 home runs. Was it 27 home runs? I think it was around 27 home runs.
27 home runs and 50 runs.
Yeah, so after breaking a bunch of my dishes, I decided to look up his stats for the eighth inning. Now, this is
for Evan Scribner.
This is for Evan Scribner. So you look at Scribner's eighth inning numbers. Now, this is the eighth inning. Uh-huh. ERA, 4.66.
Oh.
19.1 innings, so 20 appearances at least. 21 hits. 12 earned runs. Or no, 12 runs, 10 earned.
So
and out of all of our...
That's basically half of his appearances.
Yeah.
He's given up a run,
If you look at most of our bullpen, he has the lowest ERA in the eighth inning.
Oh, man, that's rough.
Other than... Now, this might be our savior, Pomerantz. Pomerantz has 8 innings pitched in the eighth inning.
Mm-hmm.
His ERA is 1.13... And he's given up one run.
Yeah. What did he do last night? I don't know if you saw.
Yeah.
I believe it was 2 innings pitched. No runs.
Yeah. Shut him down. He's looking good in the bullpen. But that's been our downfall.
Yeah.
That eighth inning.
Well, and seventh. There's a bunch of other relievers that, like, for a while, it was the seventh inning specifically.
So you look at...
But
okay,
seventh,
so
eighth. Yeah.
Here are team stats for the eighth inning. Second to last in ERA at 4.60.
Did you see who was worse than us?
I did, but I didn't write it down.
I don't remember. It's probably Cincinnati.
Most runs given up, obviously, at 49.
Yeah.
44 earned. So our pitching in the eighth inning has been atrocious.
Absolutely terrible. And that's what loses games.
And that's the difference between a playoff caliber team and our team, which should be...
Obviously.
On all other levels, our team is a playoff team.
Moving on to the next topic, which is another not necessarily super happy topic, but that is the Josh Reddick dust-up that happened last week. There was a, you know, to fill you in, Joe, a little bit, and anybody who's listening that's not quite, you know, sure what was going on with that. Josh Reddick, it was earlier in the day. This was in during the Seattle series. I believe this was the Saturday or Sunday game. I can't quite remember. It doesn't matter which day it was. But anyway, there was some sort of cryptic tweet that he tweeted out that I did not see that people took to mean that he thought he was going to be traded or moved. Some sort of frustrated tweet that I didn't see, unfortunately. But most impactfully, on the interview show pregame with Ray Fosse on the radio, mouthed off saying that he knows that it's not Bob Melvin who doesn't want to put him in every day, especially against lefties, that it's Billy Beane that's pulling the strings, that he's really frustrated that he's not playing against left-handers, and he should be, you know, he's hitting 300, he should be in there every day. So, I mean, I guess, Joe, what was your first reaction, you know, to hearing that he had mouthed off like that?
Well, it's definitely, I understand, it's a frustrating season. He's hitting terribly against left-handers. I think, what was his batting numbers, like 160 something?
It was 166 at the time. 166. And I don't think it's gotten any better.
No, he looks, to me, he doesn't look confident up there against left. He looks like he's pushing a little bit against left-handers. It's hard to say because you have to separate what's gossip from the facts, right? If you look at the facts, he's hitting 166 and probably deserves not to start against all left-handers.
Sure.
I think throwing Bob Melvin under the bus,
first of all, can you understand him being frustrated that he's not getting to play every day?
Yeah, he's a competitive player.
Agreed. I wholeheartedly agree with that. He can mouth off as much as he wants in terms of playing time. Like, there's tons of players that do that, and I'm totally sympathetic.
I hope he does, because that means he wants to get onto the field.
Right.
You know, and I love Reddick. Reddick is one of my favorite players.
Agreed.
A fantastic defensive player.
And he's having a great year.
He's having a great year. He's playing to his potential. I've always thought he could be about this good.
I agree.
If not a little bit better, even. He's having a great year. Against left-handers, he's just not doing well. The problem is throwing your manager under the bus. Saying that your manager doesn't have control of the lineup
is completely agree.
Not the right move.
Yeah,
not only
was it a poking the bear, Billy Beane, which we can talk about in a second, it's really throwing Bob Melvin under the bus. And Bob Melvin, in fact, did an interview after hearing about that, after the game, and completely refuted what Josh was saying. He's like, that's not true. I make the lineup card. Yes, I consult with Billy Beane and their entire front office about the best way to employ, you know, our team on the field. But he's like, I make the decision. Which really made Reddick eat crow afterwards, and they said they cleared it up with talking things over. But I totally agree. That's not okay. That is to borrow a Oakland or a baseball term, that's Bush League.
Yeah. I still think it's overhyped, though. I really do. I think these, you know,
I'm not so sure.
It's just the fan base is frustrated, the media is always looking for something, the players are frustrated, Billy Beane is frustrated, Melvin is frustrated, everybody is frustrated.
Let me put it this way to you. The reason why I think there is some fire behind the smoke is that if I look at Reddick is having his best year that he's had since 2012, finally. And so he's looking great. And then he goes and mouths off really in really poor taste on the air. I mean, it was on the radio. So what that tells me is that's off the cuff, which means that's the way that he, maybe not the way that he really feels after thinking about it, but those are the feelings that he's having. And so I'm like, maybe Josh Reddick doesn't want to be a part of this team anymore. He's one of the only holdouts from the previous regime. I mean, who else do we have? Sonny Gray, Stephen Vogt, Eric Sogard. I mean, like, less than half of our team is from, you know, from the old regime. And lest we forget that I have said it on the podcast before, but I really think that getting rid of Josh Donaldson, the only reason that trade makes sense to me, by the way, number one overall vote getter in the All-Star game this year, under team control, MVP candidate. The only way that makes sense to me is that Billy Beane wanted him out of the clubhouse.
Okay, but what I'm saying is you have to give Billy Beane a little more credit than just, oh, I'm pissed off, so I'm going to trade our best player. He did get some good return on Donaldson's value.
No,
you know?
That's a very good point.
It's so I don't necessarily agree with you.
And if
Redick was having a terrible year, I'm not sure that he would just be shipped off. I mean, yes, Tommy Malone last year requested a trade, and Billy Beane's like, oh, that's Tommy Malone. Sure. See you later. Josh Redick is a lot more valuable. He is
to this team this year. No, I agree. So now moving on to Joe's favorite segment. It is
Old
Tommy's
Town.
I'm taking the rail car.
I walked over three mountains to get to school.
Uphill both ways. That's what you were trying to reach for. Okay, so you know what? No, you came up with this, so you get to introduce it. I love this idea. I cannot wait to see who it is that you say.
Who is the most annoying player in Oakland athletic history?
Right. And then we talked about, well, what does that mean? Does that mean on the field? Does it mean personality-wise? Like, what does that mean? The first thought that came to me, which I may be stealing your thunder. Do you want to go first?
No, go for
it. Okay. Was Derek Barton, the professional.
Yeah.
But I will
warning track power.
Yeah, I will let you wax poetic about Derek Barton.
No,
I actually chose
something else. I have a different choice.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Okay. Well, then you and I can both wax poetic about Derek Barton. I mean, it was how much he was hyped, right? Like he was supposed to be the second coming of Jesus Christ.
I remember reading an article about the Mark Mulder trade and
being known as.
And the writer said that this one day will be known as the Derek Barton trade.
Yep. Yeah, well, we do remember that day, but not for the reason that you thought. Oh, man. His best season, Joe, was that he hit 280 and drove in, I think, like 78 runs or something like that. And I was like, oh,
base.
He's looking good.
At first base.
Oh,
that's
man.
Just
those
not
teams,
good.
Those teams. Okay.
Yeah. And we sacrificed a good pitcher by keeping him on the roster last year because
yes. –
We instead of putting Sam, and this is one of my biggest problems about how the Oakland A's control their rosters is that they're not competition based. No matter how well you do in string training, it doesn't matter because look at Billy Burns this year. He should have been, and I said this on the podcast. He should be starting leadoff.
Yep.
The first game of the
season. I think I had him hitting ninth, but we both had him starting that day, and he didn't play.
It cost us Sam Fold, and we had to trade
because we
to
traded
get him back.
Tommy Malone to get Sam Fold,
and that's
back.
All because Derek Barton needed to be on the 25-man roster to start the season. And I think he started the first game last year.
I'm pretty sure he did.
And this is the first year we won the first game of the season because Derek Barton was not here.
Yep. No, I totally agree. My actual choice is not a player. But on the field, nonetheless, Bob Guerin.
Oh, Bob Guerin.
I hated Bob Guerin.
Oh,
I hated the way he talked.
Those were
the choices he made, you know, on the field. That was just. And let me clarify. I'm not saying that I hate the man, Bob Guerin. I'm sure that Bob Guerin is a very nice human being.
Yeah,
that's not what I'm saying.
That's not what
I'm saying.
I'm
in the
you.
Context of baseball, when I say that I hated his voice, I mean that I hated the answers that he would give for why his justification for why he would do things. But the number one reason I hate Bob Guerin was because Ron Washington.
Yep, I was
should
just
have been
about
our manager.
To say that. Yep,
that is the number one reason. Especially seeing Ron Washington across the field in the other dugout.
Going to the World Series.
Taking the Rangers to the World Series. Oh, what about you, Joe?
Well, there's a lot of players to choose from the
there are. I was thinking of T. Long, by the way, the way that he would mouth off.
To the Ben Greaves, to the T. Long, to the Twinkle Toes himself, Norris.
Or Ricardo Rincon. Ricardo Rincon was good for us for a while against lefties, and then we'd bring him in, and every time he would pitch,
who
I swear
that?
To God, he'd
Who
was
the
home
closer
run.
For a couple years, like, or for a year? He was like Rhodes.
Oh, Arthur Rhodes. It was back to back. It was Octavio Dotel and Arthur Rhodes.
Oh, it was bad. But the most annoying player in Oakland A's history to me is Jack Cust.
I couldn't stand
that guy, man. I mean, maybe I imagined this, maybe I dreamed this, but I vaguely remember him like a ball. He was going up for a pop fly and a ball hit him in the head. We're talking about defense.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I don't think it hit him in the head. I think it hit like his chest or something, but it clanked. Like it was the simplest ball to catch and it clanked right off. There are several times that happened.
Yes.
And then what would he, and then Joe, what would he do after that happened?
He'd hit a home run.
No, they would show him on the field looking at his glove, just shaking his head. Like, is there like checking it for a hole?
That's right. That's right.
Oh, that was the funniest thing.
I wonder what his RAR would be. Is
his WAR?
His WAR, I mean. Oh, it would be like, it must be in the, I mean, because he would hit his fair share of home runs.
Him at the plate, though, there was one of three things that would happen.
Strikeout, home run.
Or a walk. That's so boring. That is the most boring at bat.
I couldn't stand that guy. He was terrible, especially his defense. His defense, man, was just, oh my God, man. Why is this guy on the field? At least DH him.
Yeah. Which we did a little bit. But.
Those were painful years.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You were wrong.
You're wrong.
So last time we did the podcast, our predictions were pretty straightforward. We were predicting the three-game sets against the Rangers and the Royals. And how did we do, Joe?
Well, let's see. We went 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
We swept the Rangers and got swept by the Royals,
which neither of us predicted.
Nope.
So we're both wrong on that.
Although you said we're going to go 3-3.
I did say
so
we were going to go 3-3.
You got that right. I thought we were going to take 2 out of 3 from both teams.
Yeah.
And I was wrong.
You were wrong, Joe.
I was wrong.
You were wrong. But you know what? Those were both fairly decent guesses. I think that is the first time that I have correctly predicted a record for a week. So that's cause for celebration, at least over here on this side. I'm sure you'll get yours eventually.
Have I not got one yet?
No, probably I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what's going on this next week? So we have the All-Star break happening next Tuesday, or actually starting Monday.
Right, so we don't have that many games. So we've got the game tonight,
so we
won
against
New
the
York
Yankees,
and one more.
I've gone on record saying we win tonight 3-1.
Right, 3-1.
I think Country Breakfast is going to hit a two-run shot in the seventh inning with two outs. So I think I'm pretty confident.
Like
yeah.
Oh, you a Country Breakfast in the seventh.
I have to do the set. Yeah. I'm just going to keep on saying it until I get it right.
Yep.
It's going to happen eventually.
Man, that broken clock is right twice a day.
That's
so. yeah. Okay. And then we've got the Yankees tomorrow morning. So that's Thursday morning. When actually this podcast will be posting. So this morning in the future. And then we've got a 3-game set against the Indians. Very mediocre team.
Do we have pitching
matches? So extend that out. What do you think? What do you think we go over? And because then we're in the All-Star break.
Okay,
so
here are the matchups. We have Kazmir.
That's five more games.
Kazmir going tonight.
Uh-huh. Against CC.
Against CC, which is a very winnable game. CC is not having the greatest
year. CC is a left-hander.
He is a left-hander, but he's not having the best season.
Oh, yeah. No, he's been all over the place.
Chavez is going against Tanaka. Mm-hmm. Tanaka's not having a great season either, not compared
right.
to last
Tanaka's
year.
Right, Tanaka's one of those weird pitchers, though, that he can all of a sudden
be
pitch
on.
A crazy game.
Yeah, and
so.
I'm never
is
confident.
Is he a right-hander or a left-hander? Tanaka.
I don't know. I believe
he's a right-hander.
But I'm not 100%
sure. So we got a chance.
Chavez, I'm never confident when Chavez mm-hmm. takes him out. There's always something that happens.
I agree.
You know, he always gives up either one too many home. Actually, he's been pretty decent with home runs. He gave up, I think that Friday, he actually
hits.
Gave up two home runs, which was...
I think the first time all season.
First
yeah,
time all season.
He's been super good keeping the ball in the park.
But something always seems to happen. So I think we take today's game, 3-1, and we lose tomorrow's game.
Okay.
3-2. We're going to lose another.
Oh, man.
Another
all right.
One run game.
Okay. How about against the Indians?
The Indians, I'm going to say we have Graveman going, then Han, and then Gray. I say we sweep the Indians.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, that's a good 1-2-3, man.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. Graveman, Han,
the Han and is a little you know,
been a little
you never
up
know
and down.
About Han. He's been pitching
Han
great
is,
though.
Han is usually really solid. Yeah. Obviously, we were just talking about our starting rotation. Like they're really quite consistent actually. Okay. All right. So you're saying that we're going to go 4-1.
That's right.
Wow. That's, you know, I think we're going to this is what I decided before, you know, before going into this 6-game stretch, that I thought we had a really solid chance to go 4-2. So I'm going to stick with that. We've already won one of the games. I agree. I think we win against CC Sabathia. I think CC Sabathia, there's going to be at least a 3 or 4 inning stretch where we make CC Sabathia look like Cy Young, because that's what we always do against left-handed pitchers. But I do think we put some runs on the
board.
Do
we have an outfielder that we got from the Rangers? What's his name? Coming
Smolenski.
Up?
Smolenski. Yeah, Smolenski's yeah. coming up. He hit like
he's
I was
like,
reading. He hit
like
132 or
something.
In for the Rangers in something like 20 games or 30 games, but he was raking to the tune of like 475.
Yeah.
So that's exciting, which I don't know if you saw the lineup, but I like the lineup tonight. It's almost all right-handed, except I think the only exception is Stephen Vogt, which
Stephen,
I love, man.
Gotta have Stephen Vogt in there.
That's looking awesome. So I like that lineup. I like the idea of having Jake Smolenski being the Gentry that we were always supposed to have. You know, I mean, obviously he's not as fast as Gentry, but I don't know much about this Smolenski guy, but 475 or 435 or whatever it was, that's no joke. So, dude, you know what? I hope this team catches fire. I hope
too.
That you're right. We go 4-1.
Yeah.
We're 8 games back right now. We'd be 5 games back of 500. And that's the mark for me. It's not record. We gained a half game in the two and a half weeks since we last podcasted.
Yeah,
but that doesn't matter to me. It's about getting back to 500.
We were 9 games below the Rangers, I believe, when we caught fire in 2012 or when we came back and won in 2012.
Right. Starting in July.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's our record in July? We've gone 3-2. Yeah. No, 4-2 so far.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this might be a long podcast. We'll see.
Yeah.
But that is, it was great to sit across from you, Joe, as always.
Always a pleasure.
I hope everybody out there, I almost forgot one last thing.
Yeah.
This is the last question of the day, and it's a doozy. Bash Brother Valdez has no idea what I'm about to ask him right now.
Oh, no.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm
clear
ready.
Your mind.
I was born ready.
Clear your mind. Get into a zen place, and I just want you to react. Okay, ready? Mary Kill, Billy Bean, Billy Butler, and Billy Burns.
Say it one more time.
Mary Kill.
Oh, Mary Kill.
Billy Bean, Billy Butler, Billy Burns.
Well, I'm going to marry Billy Burns.
Really? Wow. Joe likes him young and fast.
It's that goatee, man. That's sexy
okay.
goatee.
Marrying Billy Burns.
Because so you have to marry one.
Yep.
Okay.
Fuck one and you're killing the other.
Yeah. I'm going to kill. I'm going to kill Billy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to.
And you're fucking.
I'm going to do this prison style with no Vaseline.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God.
Because
it got so
revenge.
Graphic. Revenge.
For all
right.
the damn trades, man.
That's the hate.
The hate.
Well, to be fair, I was asked this question a couple days ago. My answer was that I would marry Billy Bean because he's part owner, mother.
Yeah,
so I'm
good.
Marrying into that yeah. money. You better believe that. Number two, that means I'm f***ing Billy Burns. And yeah. I'm killing Billy Butler.
Yeah.
Because he sucks.
Yeah.
He's got to die.
We're there.
Figuratively speaking, everyone. Jeez.
I'm going to get so much hate mail now.
I know. Well, this has been real.
I don't have a mail.
It's been
I
awesome.
Don't have an email. So it's all good.
We're not online, Sam.
We're not online.
Whatsoever. Nah. Whatsoever. Well, Grandpa Joe, it was wonderful doing a podcast with you again. Hopefully, we should be back in a week, we're thinking. Next
week. Wednesday.
If not, we'll catch you guys in a couple weeks. Thank you so much, as always, for listening.
The Giants.
The Angels.
Bye-bye.
And let's go, Oakland.
Let's go, Oakland.
That was like Foghorn style.
I like it.